You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy National Grammar Day! We celebrate our love of language every year on March 4th because it is both a day and an imperative sentence. As in, march forth and spread the love of good grammar. As in, go forth and spread the love of good grammar. But did you know we've only been celebrating National Grammar Day since 2008? And we have author Martha Brockenbrough to thank for the holiday? Martha was a writer for Encarta.com and the editor-in-chief of MSN.com, and she also taught high school, and that's where she got started on her own as a grammar guru in 2004 with the founding of the Society for the Promotion of Good Grammar, with the hilarious abbreviation SPOG, because she was looking for a way to make grammar more fun for her high school students. Membership was free, and she took on campaigns such as boycotting Bud Light until they fixed a grammar error on a billboard, and she posted about grammar errors she and her members found in the wild. Then, in 2008, perhaps not coincidentally a few months before the publication of her book, Things That Make Us Sick, spelled S-I-C like the editor's note, she finagled to get a letter from then-President George W. Bush sending best wishes for National Grammar Day, and a holiday created by a woman with a knack for marketing to match her love of grammar was born. Martha continued to promote National Grammar Day until 2010, when she decided to commit herself to writing fiction, something she has done fantastically well since then. I'm always inspired by her books. I particularly liked the multi-award-winning Game of Love and Death that came out in 2016, and she has a new book coming out in November of 2021 called Into the Blood-Red Woods that has a gorgeous cover and is described as a feminist twist on the Brothers Grimm story. Game of Thrones style. So in 2010, she handed National Grammar Day off to me for safekeeping, and I've been doing my part to promote it ever since. I'm pleased to say that National Grammar Day has been the top story on CNN. I've been on the Today Show a couple of times to promote it. The American Copy Editors Society, now known as simply ACES, has embraced the day and holds an annual poetry contest, and countless celebrities have tweeted about the holiday. My favorite is still the tweet from Funny or Die that said, "Celebrating National Grammar Day on Twitter is like holding an AA meeting during Mardi Gras." Too true, Funny or Die, too true. I've also heard from many of you who celebrate in your own ways, by baking cakes, holding events at your schools or workplaces when we did that, and even giving books as gifts. This year, I'm celebrating by making my first LinkedIn Learning course free for 24 hours to anyone on LinkedIn. So you can look for that post on my personal LinkedIn profile, Mignon Fogarty. The 24-hour clock starts ticking when you click the link, so don't panic if you didn't hear this on March 4th. You can still go look for the post and get free access. And I'll also read the winner of the ACES National Grammar Day Poetry Contest in next week's Grammar Girl podcast. It wasn't quite available yet when I needed to record this show. And finally, I created a special National Grammar Day Spotify playlist with podcasts covering the top 10 grammar myths. Listen by searching for Grammar Girl's National Grammar Day playlist, and that's only on Spotify. So now that you know the history of our little holiday, and you can play with my freebies and look forward to grammar poetry, I hope you have an especially happy National Grammar Day. Remember the frustration of trying to memorize vocabulary and grammar rules, only to find you couldn't actually use the language in real life? Well, there's a better way to learn. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program with millions of users learning 25 different languages, and you can get it on your desktop or as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. It's really different. You pick up the language naturally, first with words, then the phrases, and then with sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Grammar Girl listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/grammar. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/grammar today. Hey there. If you are a curious person who loves to learn, there's another podcast I think you'll really enjoy. Freakonomics Radio is hosted by bestselling author Stephen Dubner and drives into the hidden side of business, economics, and so much more. He interviews CEOs, historians, and Nobel laureates to explore all kinds of topics, like why using swear words is more important than you think, and the psychology behind why projects are always late. New episodes of Freakonomics Radio are available every week, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Mignon. Do you need a new literary show to add to your podcast queue? Well, then you definitely want to check out Missing Pages, the chart-topping and Signal Award-winning podcast produced by The Podglomerate. Back for a brand new season, Missing Pages investigates the most pressing topics in the book world today, from the rise of Colleen Hoover and book bans across America to the world of ghostwriting. Not to mention, host and acclaimed literary critic Beth Ann Patrick interviews some of the biggest names in the industry, like New York Times bestselling author Jodi Picou and Publishers Weekly co-editorial director Jim Milliot. And as the Washington Post and The Guardian said, Missing Pages is a, quote, must listen. And I agree. So don't miss out. Follow Missing Pages today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening now. In honor of National Grammar Day, I thought it would be good to share some of my favorite resources with you and explain why I like them. So if you find yourself getting curious about language, you'll know where to start your research. Sometimes when I do interviews, people ask me if I were stranded on a desert island, what one book would I bring with me? And I always insist on bringing two. Garner's Modern English Usage, and the Merriam-Webster Dictionary of English Usage, because they complement each other so well. Garner's Modern English Usage is written by Brian Garner, a lawyer and prolific author who also produces Black's Law Dictionary. Garner's Modern English Usage is more than 900 pages, with type on the small side, and it covers almost any English usage question you'd have. Only a few times a year do I go searching there and come up empty-handed. Besides its comprehensiveness, another thing I love about this book is that Garner has created a language change index to rank how common and accepted a changing usage is. For example, stage 1 is essentially a common error that nobody likes, and stage 5 is a change that everyone now accepts. For example, he defines effect with an A in the phrase to effect change as stage 1 because it happens with some regularity, but it's something an editor would definitely correct without any debate. But calling a delicious fall drink apple cider and calling a graduate of a school an alum instead of an alumnus or alumni are both stage 5 on his language change index, objected to at some point in the past, but now completely fine. Garner is a great source for a quick, clear answer and a bit of explanation. Moving on, well, Garner tends to be on the prescriptive side with its assigning of numerical rank, The Merriam-Webster Dictionary of English Usage, affectionately abbreviated MWDEU, is more on the descriptive side, telling the story of how usage has changed and been discussed, sometimes going back hundreds of years. Where the Merriam-Webster Dictionary of English Usage really shines is in the middle range of language change, the threes on Garner's scale. For example, on using the word impact as a verb that means effect, as in the weather impacted fourth quarter sales, Garner has a brief entry explaining that impact was traditionally only a noun, but that people have started using it as a verb. He generally recommends against it and labels it stage 3 on his language change index. Merriam-Webster, on the other hand, has a 2-page discussion of the topic, going through the evolving opinions of some of the famous language writers of yore, and discussing the noun use and the verb use separately, with many examples and a nice summary at the end. If a topic that interests you is in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary of English Usage, you'll know most of what there is to know about it. Another source I regularly use is called the Google Books Ngram Viewer. In this context, ngram means phrases that are n words long. So a 2-gram is a sequence of 2 words, a 3-gram is a sequence of 3 words, and so on. The Google tool lets you search for words and phrases that appear in their Google Book corpus, and it maps the usages over time. For example, using the ngram viewer, I can see that the use of schadenfreude in English publications has dramatically increased since around 1980. And I can compare usages and see that people are more likely to write the phrase wet your whistle, spelling wet, W-E-T, rather than W-H-E-T. If you're learning English, the Google ngram viewer is also a quick way to check which prepositions you should use in a phrase. For example, you can see that in books, saying something happened by accident is far more common than saying something happened on accident. You can also limit your search to books classified as British English, American English, English fiction, and a few other languages now too. I use those filters pretty regularly to search for differences between British and American English. To get the most out of the Google ngram viewer, you need to spend some time learning to do advanced searches that let you limit the part of speech your word can be, for example, and you have to think carefully about how you do your searches, or you can get misleading results. For example, if you searched for the word deserts, you would get results that included usages for deserts, the noun, as in we visited all the major deserts. Deserts, the verb, as in when he deserts the project, will avoid saying I told you so. And for the phrase just deserts, which is spelled like deserts. You'd probably want to filter your results by part of speech or use a more specific search with more words. Another thing I do with some regularity is search big online newspaper sites from companies that still have strong editing departments, such as the New York Times, the Washington Post, and USA Today. For example, regular listeners may remember that I recently talked about searching the Washington Post to see if they still use the term diabetics, which they don't. Instead, they use the phrase people with diabetes. These sites can give you a quick snapshot of how certain words or phrases are being used today. One specialized website I like a lot is called Edom Online. It has the best information about word origins that I've found anywhere. A fascinating tidbit I found just a couple of days ago is that the word pretty seems to have disappeared from the language in the 13th and 14th century. It was there before, and it was there after, but apparently it was absent except in surnames for a couple hundred years. Yet, Edom Online says people believe the earlier pretty and the later pretty have the same origin. Weird, huh? Regarding style guides, I use a lot of them, and I always try to get digital versions to make them easier to search. For example, I subscribe to the online editions of the AP Stylebook and the Chicago Manual of Style, and I have the ebook versions of the MLA Handbook and the New York Times Manual of Style and Usage. Being able to search saves a lot of time. And finally, for pronunciation of things like names, I use a site called Youglish, which lets you search for specific words in YouTube videos. And for pronunciation of foreign words, I use Google Translate. So the next time you have a question, and you know you will, those are the places you can start looking. And of course, you can also always search the Grammar Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com too, because with more than 1,000 articles, there's a good chance I've covered it. And a final trick is that you can limit your search to just grammar articles, because of course, Quick and Dirty Tips is a whole network with lots of different topics, but we have a menu on the right side of our search results that lets you limit your results further by topic, and grammar is one of them. So if you click on that, you'll just get articles that are tagged with grammar. Happy researching. Finally, I have a Familect story from Abigail. But first, someone said they had trouble hearing the first Familect from last week, the story about the daughter who was accused of not turning in her homework. It was sincerely, a combination of sincerely and seriously. No, Mom, I sincerely did my homework. And now here's Abigail with this week's story.
Hi, Grammar Girl. It's Abigail from California. I'm calling to tell you about how I have incorporated Familect into my own life. When I meet groups of people, you know how you go around with an icebreaker, everybody share your name, everybody share where you're from, and then tell us one fun fact about yourself. Everybody say your favorite color. Everybody say your favorite superpower. Well, instead of those old things that everyone is used to, I say everybody go around and tell us a Familect. And then I explain what a Familect is, and everybody is really excited to share, and it makes for a fantastic icebreaker. So the Familect that I always share during these discussions is many years ago, my sister-in-law made an anniversary cake for my parents-in-law and wrote happy anniversary on the cake by accident. And at the time, her error was not funny, but we made fun of her anyway. It was kind of a, you know, sensitive issue. She was a little bit upset about people teasing her. But many years later, it's a little bit funnier. And definitely when I write anniversary cards to my husband and he writes them to me, we write happy anniversary. Thanks for the show. I love it so much. Bye.
Thanks, Abigail. I love that idea. I kind of hate those icebreakers, and I think sharing Familects would make it a lot more fun. If you want to call with your family word story, you can leave a voicemail at 83-321-4GIRL, and I might play it on the show. I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. You can find articles that go with each podcast segment at my website, quickanddirtytips.com. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook as Grammar Girl. Thanks to my producer, Nathan Sims, and that's all. Happy National Grammar Day, and thanks for listening. Hey, it's Mignon. If you want to do more to hone your communication skills, then check out Think Fast, Talk Smart, produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and hosted by my friend and Stanford lecturer, Matt Abrahams. You may remember Matt from his interview on the show back in September when he shared his top tips for becoming a better writer and speaker. Think Fast, Talk Smart is his Webby award-winning podcast, which has been downloaded 41 million times and has been the number one career podcast in more than 95 countries. So you know it's worth your time. Whether you're making a wedding toast or presenting at work, strong speaking skills are critical to success in business and in life, which is why Matt sits down with experts every week to talk about the best tips to unlock your communication potential. Hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speechwriter and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. So what are you waiting for? Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And tell Matt I said hi.